The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
And we talk about Jesus Easterby, who's going to be around for a while. Boy, the drama just never ends. Let's do this. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
Diabolical.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel de Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, Dad Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. I was reading some of the Twitchers on Josh's show, and everybody seems mean today. It's a Friday, what the hell?
What? People in a bad mood?
Yeah, let's have some fun, man.
I know Aaron's in a good mood.
Yeah?
Well, about to get bumped up to that $15 an hour minimum wage.
Yeah. Well, that's
good for you, Aaron.
If that passes, oh my gosh, I'll
You
know, I'm really glad to see you double your salary, buddy. Oh, what's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on over there?
Trying to build the empire, my friend.
How's that going?
Going very well.
Well, hey, you can't complain then.
No. Well, I could, but nothing to complain about. Life is good. Right. Just ready to, in fact, after the show, going to head out to go camping for the weekend and watch football. In the it's going to be cold, so I'm going to stay inside and watch football all weekend.
All right. After the show today, I'm going to go over and watch the second half of, if I have time. I don't know if I'll even have time because the game supposedly starts at 6:30. And the place is like 10 minutes from my house. So I may miss his game, but the Sixers play their second game tonight, trying to improve on their 0-1 record.
Did they at least score?
Well, they haven't played yet. That's tonight. But we will see. That's the goal. Tonight is to try and score a basket. That will be the goal for the Sixers tonight. Not to win the game, but to lose by a more respectable margin than 34-0.
Well, 12-2, would that work?
I would take it.
Yeah, yeah, that's progress.
That's improvement.
We call that progress, right?
That's right.
It's like the Rockets made progress when they got rid of James Harden.
That's right. You saw last night, they're winning the championship.
Oh, man. I guess I should never be surprised by anything that comes out of Kirby, but your guy Cal talked to John McClain today.
All these reports were like, well, they may get rid of Jack Easterby. And then Cal came out and made it clear that, no, he's here. This is our guy.
Well, part of the problem was it wasn't a report. Peter King, who, by the way, is a useless fossil at this stage of his career, was on a podcast and said, oh, yeah, I think they'll get rid of him. And somehow that became Peter King reported. So I'm not really blaming him for it, that people ran with it.
I saw something else this isn't a real source, but the Texan Storm report. Is this guy like a pretty legit guy, or
never
is
heard
just
of
a
him.
Made up fan website?
Never heard of him.
Okay, Aaron.
I've only seen certain tweets of his. I don't know what the success rate is on his predictions or reports, but
I think he
was trying to encroach on you with the non-pedo Texans.
Nice try.
But he went with Pat Storm?
Patrick Storm, yeah.
Hmm.
Not Patrick Starr.
Non-pedo?
I don't know. But he has some followers from our station, like John Granato follows him. Patrick Creighton follows him. Raheel follows him. Stephanie Stradley follows him. My boy Rod Babers follows him. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, they follow him. I was like, oh, well, he's got enough. Josh Jordan. He's got enough followers who are you know, up on this stuff that maybe he's like a legit source. And he seemed pretty convinced that Jack Easterby was done for, and now I'll never be able to trust him again. So yeah,
if you're back
to just having me as your non-pedo news.
You know, if those guys are following him, he's probably legitimate. But I did talk to some people over there today, and it no surprise that McLean's story came out where he talked in depth to Cowboy Cal. And I'll give Cal credit for one thing. At least he came out and said, I screwed up. At least he admitted he was wrong about something. That's a first.
Yeah.
But and from what I've been told is some of the Easterby stuff is not necessarily his fault. He was put in a position that he wasn't qualified to do, and he didn't handle it well. And that still doesn't mean that there's not a lot of discord over there. And the hope is that, you know, now that Casario is actually running things, and there's I've been surprised at how much people have raved to me about Nick Casario and how good they think he's going to be. But, you know, I'm obviously taking it with a grain of salt until he does something where I say, you know what, good job, because this is the Texans. And, you know, it was when I was talking about the Game of Thrones thing, each king worse than the last. Well, let's hope that this one turns into Bran the Broken, because otherwise you're going to have just the same old mess. And I think you're going to have the same old mess. I'm not confident, but I'm hopeful that he takes control of the situation, works things out with Deshaun, and that Jesus is not involved at all in any personnel decisions, which is what I'm told is supposed to happen. I don't know that I believe that. Because, I mean, this is a guy who's been a power climber. And you think he's just going to give all that up?
Yeah, I doubt it.
So, I think it's, and you know, now Watson's doing weird tweets again. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on other than, part of the problem is, and I'm not going to defend the Texans here. I just think everybody, when people get angry in a fan base, they're like angry dogs. And when they get their teeth in your leg, if you're the guy that they bite, they're not letting go. And I think that's what's happening here with Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby has become the villain of Houston sports right now. It was James Harden until James Harden had become the villain. Everybody was ready to move on from him. Look how happy they are. But Easterby's become the villain. And, you know, remember Kareem Jackson was the guy for a while. And, you know, there's always somebody on the roster that everybody says, that guy's got to go. Whitney Merciless is a villain at the moment. But this guy, I think everybody has just dived into, and you know, you look at his track record and what he's been involved with, I don't blame him. But it's hard to get past that. And I think at some point, if Cal's not going to pull the trigger, if Casario's not going to pull the trigger, then, you know, Easterby's going to have to do the right thing. You know, like in Godfather 2, when, you know, he wanted his family taken care of. So what did he do? Slit his wrist in the bathtub when you go against the Don. And I'm talking figuratively, by the way. No one out there driving around, oh, he's suggesting the guy kill him. No! It's from The Godfather. It's a movie reference. But, you know, that's I think if he's truly smart, that's what he does. But, you know, otherwise, I still think they can fix this, and it won't be a big deal, but you better do everything right from here. And you're trusting Nick Casario to do everything right. I hope so. Like I said, there's people who I really respect that just swear by him. So we'll see. But this is a bad look again, and it's and I certainly don't blame McLean for trying to get Cal to talk,
right?
Because somebody had to address all this stuff, and he at least admitted that yeah, Deshaun's pissed off. that's I mean, we kind of know that, but at least we got it from the mustache mouth.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if this is, you know, if it's something that's going to stick. I don't know if Deshaun is going to put on some tweet storm that changes his mind. But this is him kind of putting his foot in the ground and saying, "Listen, this is where we're at. This is how it's going to be." I don't know if that's the right move, but hey, it's his franchise. We'll see if it works. But I want to get into next, I mean, it sounds to me like the coaching carousel is slowing down.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to, because if they really want Eric Bieniemy, I think they're going to have a shot at Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that when we come back. And we'll be live on Twitch here during the break. At least I will. And we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
First of all, it was an honor and a privilege, but that's not what we're here for, all right? We're here to talk about the Cleveland Browns, and you've heard us talk about this before. We eliminate all distractions, okay? At the end of the day, my focus and attention is on the Cleveland Browns. This is a great team, and they're playing some great ball. They got some young guys up front that are playing tremendous. They got some guys in the second level with those backers, and they got a heck of a secondary group. One of those guys we're very familiar with. So we're looking forward to this challenge. I know our guys are fired up and excited. They're refreshed. They've hit the reset button. Now it's time to get out there and produce and show exactly what we're about.
And we are back on the Blitz. Eric Bieniemy discussing his coaching interviews. And
or lack thereof.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that these jobs are going the way they're going, and if you're the Texans, this is good news. The one guy that I wish they'd talked to that they didn't was Robert Saleh, mainly because he's one of my Lebanese brothers. But I think that guy's going to be a good coach. He's another one that everybody raves about. But maybe I think the Jets' job looks a lot more normal than the Texans right now, which I wouldn't have said 2 weeks ago. So, but otherwise, I mean, Urban Meyer, you were never really a player for. Looks like Dan Campbell may get the Lions job.
Yeah, looks like he's the heavy, heavy favorite. So,
so that's not a guy you were ever going to talk to.
Falcons job is shut down now.
Yeah, Smith going there.
Yeah, so all these jobs, I mean, I guess it's now the Texans, the Chargers seems to be sort of wide open. I think what I've gathered on the Chargers is the Chargers' preference is going to be Brian Daboll. But so when, and the Eagles is open. So we're down to three jobs left.
Yeah.
If all the rumors are true and the Texans are one of those jobs, I mean, it's starting to look more and more like there's a real chance that Eric Bieniemy just doesn't end up with a job.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, if you're the Texans and you're willing to wait on him to interview him, then that's at least good news that you're at least going to talk to him. And if that you decide that's your guy, and if that was a guy, well, I think that's a guy you should have at least talked to in the beginning, then, it's good that these other jobs are filling up, because these are all guys that really aren't on your radar. Now, we could argue that some of them should have been.
Yes.
Saleh definitely should have been on their radar. But the other ones, and you still got Doug Peterson floating around out there, which I think, that's a guy that you could...
It's worth a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So, if you're a Texans fan, at least the one thing to look forward to is that these other teams are taking guys that you really weren't interested in.
I mean, but doesn't Eric Bieniemy just have to be, like, the worst interview if that's the case? Like, because otherwise, what else is keeping him from getting hired?
Well, and from what I understand, I don't think he's a bad interview. It's just in a lot of these cases, they've already kind of locked in on who they wanted, and you interview him because that satisfies your minority interview. But for all along, apparently Jacksonville wanted Urban Meyer. That was the direction they wanted to go. The Arthur Smith thing, I think. I don't want to say
Urban Meyer. I understand. Yeah, Urban Meyer's got a better. He's got a better track record than anyone who's been hired this offseason. I mean, that's a. That's a big name. That's a big get for whoever could get him. But everybody else, it doesn't seem like their resumes are that much better than his.
I think the one guy that, because when you talked about probably the two top prospects, it was Bieniemy and Saleh. So I'm not going to fault the Jets for going that direction. But the fact that the Atlanta interviewed him and I'm guessing again that they had Arthur Smith tabbed from the beginning. This is what happens in a lot of these coaching searches. And it's one of the things that I was kind of complaining about the Texans. And not that I think Brian Daboll would be a bad choice, but if they've already made up their mind and that's the guy, then none of this stuff means anything. And I think that happens more often than we give it credit for.
Yeah.
But
is it that, or, you know, with some of these guys that have similar resumes to Bieniemy, I mean, he's won a Super Bowl now, but are some of these GMs wanting to get their head coach in as fast as possible to start doing as much draft prep as they can?
But it's not really, knowing they have to rebuild. It's not so much about draft prep, it's about building staffs. And I think that's always been a problem for the guys who make it all the way to the Super Bowl. Teams get there and they're like, well, we like that guy, but we like this guy as much, and we need to start going out and building a staff. And to me, like, I was looking at some of the possibilities for Urban Meyer's staff, and Jim Caldwell's on there as an offensive coordinator, and I'm like, that's a guy I want as an offensive coordinator. So if you're waiting till after the Super Bowl, is he still going to be available? Especially if I'm Eric Bieniemy, and let's fast forward and say the Browns beat the Chiefs this weekend, and Bieniemy's suddenly available, and you interview him and you decide that's your guy, well, then it'll happen pretty fast. But if you have to wait till the end of the Super Bowl, which I think most of us believe will happen, till next week when the Bills beat him, by that time, Jim Caldwell might be hired by somebody as an offensive coordinator. I want to talk about his head coaches, by the way. And Marvin Lewis, that's another name. I'd love to have him as a defensive coordinator, especially with a first-time head coach. Those are guys that might be gone. And it's not just your coordinators. It's your special teams coaches. It's your quarterbacks coaches. Saleh is now that he's in place, he can start building a staff. Arthur Smith can start building a staff. Urban is building a staff. And now it just moves down a level, because the guys who are coveted as head coaches, well, once they get the coaching job, now the guys who are coveted as coordinators, they're going to go after them first. And so there is an advantage to that, and it is a disadvantage for guys who are coaching into the Super Bowl.
I agree, and we talked about this last year when Eric Bieniemy didn't get hired. What did Eric Bieniemy not get hired because he was coaching for so long into the postseason? I don't know. If so, there needs to be a change of the rules on. But I don't really know at this point. I feel like enough people have talked to Eric Bieniemy. If they wanted to hire him, they could have by now, and yeah, No one's done it. So to me, maybe it's an Eric Bieniemy thing.
Maybe, but I also think.
And I also think people are hesitant to just say, well, Eric Bieniemy's good. He's the OC of the Chiefs. The Chiefs' offense is great. He's good because of who the head coach there is.
I think that's part of it. But you know what? Eagles didn't have that problem with Dougie P. The Bears didn't have that problem hiring Matt Nagy.
Well, and how's that worked out?
Well, they won a Super Bowl. I'll take that.
No, I'm talking about for the Bears.
Hell, they made the playoffs, what, 2 out of his 3 years? I mean, they're not a Super Bowl team, but he's gotten them to the playoffs. That's not a disaster.
Yeah,
you don't think the Texans would take getting back to 9-7 right now?
I'm sure they would.
Starting next year. And Robert asked, doesn't Bieniemy have some character issues from the past? But that's another
thing. That's a long time ago,
and it wasn't that bad. Let's not act like this was a murder or something. But yeah,
but it's also, I mean, when you're Jack Easterby, maybe that's enough.
Yeah, well, I thought Christians were supposed to be forgiving. That's what I thought. I don't know.
What's that judge thing?
Yeah.
Judge everybody first and then look in the mirror if you have time?
That's right.
Isn't that from Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Or no, Life of Brian, that's what it's from. Don't judge anyone, lest ye be judged yourself. You mean me? Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Okay, Fred, I need you to to tell me that it's early yet.
Okay.
I played the Charlotte 49ers +1.5 today. Got good closing line value. It closed at Charlotte -2.5, so I'm feeling good about that. 12.5 minutes into the game, though, it's 23-1 UAB.
Ow.
Is that good? Is it early yet, or?
It's early yet. You're
okay.
Fine. You're fine.
That's all I needed to hear. Thanks,
you know what? Remember yesterday we were live on the show and I'd given away an under in hockey and it was 3-0 in the first period.
Did it cash?
It cashed, yeah. Because it was early yet. They got one goal in the second, and guess what? None the rest of the way.
is 0-for-10 with 10 turnovers. Is that good?
Yeah, that's not good. You know what?
Okay,
go
could
see
be better.
Hey, you know what?
But there's room for improvement, right?
Go check what your in-game line is. I would hit that. Because you do feel like that's a better team, right? And this is just a horrible start.
Yeah.
You're probably getting like +8 or something.
I'm getting +13.5.
I think it's worth the play. By the way, can I give the people my hockey play for the night?
Sure.
First off, no totals tonight because my bookie has adjusted to my betting already.
Oh no.
I basically have added a half goal to everything. Including like the one that I liked going in was Toronto Ottawa over 6. It's now 6.5. If you have to play in over tonight, I'd still do it, but I'm not doing it. I'm not playing it. What I am playing is Buffalo. It was +120 when I bet it, and then it clicked right down to +110. But plus number on Buffalo, Washington tonight. And I'll just give you my thinking behind it. The two teams played last night. It was 6-4 Washington. That was our over bet. But Buffalo did not play in the bubble last year. There were no preseason games. So these guys, this was their first real game since March, and they're a young team, so they'll bounce back on the back-to-back a little faster. So that's my thinking behind it, and it's a plus number. So not playing it huge. I'd say it's probably a two-star type play, but that'll give you something to root for tonight.
All right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz at ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Just sharing a little gambling info with the Twitchers. Kind of my thought process behind playing in the hockey overs and unders and why I do that. And hopefully they enjoyed it, so. Little free lesson, all the kind of stuff you'll be getting on Sports Map Elite, which will be launching week of March Madness. More details to come on that very soon. So, it's been working on that for a while. I know you guys have heard us talk about it, and we are moving forward now. Site's being built even as we speak. So, it's a beautiful thing. One more follow-up on the Texans, and there's a couple questions that somebody says, Fred out here changing lines. Sabres already down to +100. Damn it. Am I the only
one? I got it at +110.
You did?
Yeah.
It was 120 when I bet it. And then I had some free play on my bookie. So I went to put that on it. And that's when it went down to 110 while I was betting. I'm like, you son of a. But anyway, am I the only one who is sick of Deshaun's cryptic tweeting? I understand why he's mad, but call up Schefter and just tell him how you feel. It makes it seem like he craves the attention. This is hard for me because I love Deshaun. I don't want to criticize Deshaun too much, and I think
I want to know what's on his mind. Honestly, yeah, so it doesn't bother me. Do I wish he'd just come out and say what he thinks out loud? Sure, but I don't think that's going to happen because I think Deshaun is kind of above that. So right now, cryptic tweeting beats dead silence, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and maybe he's just jacking with everybody. Maybe he's just got that kind of sense of humor. I don't know. But I am, I love the guy, and I think he's in the right here. And even Cal kind of admitted he was wrong, that's why Deshaun's mad. So I totally get it. I'm just not a fan of cryptic tweeting, but that's what the kids do today. You know, I mean, I'm not going to be get off my lawn guy. That's how they deal with stuff. And I mean, we've seen it, especially with pro athletes. It's well, not even pro athletes. Just get on Twitter and read anything. And there's people cryptically tweeting about their bosses or their girlfriend or their husband or their dog. And, you know, in this case, it just happens to be a high profile disagreement.
Yeah.
So somebody said his cryptic tweeting is him tweeting something and then deleting it. He did it like 5 times today. Yeah, I don't know because I don't follow Deshaun. I don't follow really any athletes. Well, I take it back. I follow some MMA guys that have been on our show. But as far as like football players or basketball players, I don't really care. But you know, I wish the guy would just come out and there is one thing. I mean, because Cal said, you know, hey, we're handling this internally. That's how you handle things like this. I do agree with that to an extent. But you're also so public that it's kind of hard to get away from it. And especially with the tweeting going on. If anybody has those tweets and can post them to Twitch that he deleted, I'd be curious to see what he said. I did see one that was some rap lyrics that, you know, I'm obviously an old because they made zero sense to me. And then there was something about I was a 2 and now I'm a 10. Okay. That one I saw because everybody retweeted it. But don't you think this whole thing gets solved if they hire Eric Bieniemy?
Well, I don't know. No, I don't. I think this thing gets solved if they hire Eric Bieniemy and then it works. But because otherwise, I mean, we're still in this cycle of, you know, failure. And as long as the team is not doing well, nobody's going to be happy. And that's just the realities. But I it feels like Bieniemy would be a step in the right direction to appeasing Deshaun. I don't know if that makes it the right thing. I never thought that Deshaun should be, you know, the deciding factor in who they hired as a GM, who they hired as a coach. That doesn't make sense. No other player in the league gets to choose, you know, their guy. I don't think that should happen. But I think that where the Texans made a mistake was pretending like he did have an input.
Yeah, you don't lie to him and tell him that. But
that's the dumb part.
But it's also, I mean, this is changing. This isn't the NFL of 10 years ago.
Well, Russell Wilson says he wants to have a say in Brian Schottenheimer's replacement.
And he wasn't happy that happened, apparently. So I think these guys.
But why? Why wasn't he happy?
I don't know.
Because they're Bible study partners. So it's not a football-related thing. They're Bible study partners.
Can we get this stuff out of football? I mean, it just causes problems. But when you look at all these NBA guys that get their way, if you're Deshaun Watson, if you're Russell Wilson, you're among the top stars in the league, you're going to want to get your way. Yep. Aaron Rodgers kind of did it to get a new coach. And so I don't think it's that uncommon. I think it's going to become more common because these guys feel like they should have input. And I don't know that they shouldn't. If the guy is your franchise, I mean, there's nobody on that entire roster, front office, organization, anywhere more important than Deshaun Watson. So shouldn't he have a say? I don't have a problem with it. But I really have a problem with saying, yeah, you'll have an input and then not letting
him
have it.
And then not giving him one, yeah.
But then I also have a problem with the overreaction. Oh, we got to appease Deshaun. Let's go hire Eric Bieniemy.
You don't hire Eric Bieniemy because Deshaun wants Eric Bieniemy. No, you hire Eric Bieniemy if you think he's the right guy. And that's simple.
Yeah, and it's somebody says he's been passed over by multiple teams last year and this year. If you ask me, there's something there that we don't know because we aren't in the room. Maybe, and that's something that AJ brought up. I reached out to some people today just to try to get some clarity on what's going on with the Texans, and I did not get the Eric Bieniemy does not interview well thing. And what I got was that most of the teams last year wanted their coaches in place, and that's part of the problem. But they were able to interview him, and if you've decided that's your guy, I don't know why you can't announce it. I mean, he's still going to be offensive coordinator for the Chiefs through the Super Bowl, but I don't think there's any reason why you can't say this is we're hiring him as soon as the Super Bowl is over. And that way, coaches know who he is, who your coach is going to be. And, you know, you can go ahead and start building a staff with your GM based on some input from him. You know, it's like, hey, who would you want us to go after for your coaching staff when the season's over? That way, he can still be focused on the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Unless he's really not that important to the Chiefs, in which case, what's the problem?
Right.
So, let's squeeze in a quick call. Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, good afternoon, y'all. I call in reference to Fred saying earlier about how my bookie had begun adding hooks to their lines in hockey, And based on AJ's reaction, that being a bad thing, is it more because of the return on investment is now lessened by because you have to buy the hook, or am I just completely lost, which is probably most likely, or is anything I'm saying even coming remotely close?
Listen,
to
what I would say, and I don't bet the NHL, but what I would tell you is don't buy a half goal. That seems like
no, never
crazy.
Never do that.
So if the value's not there, you just play less volume and you wait until the value is there.
Yeah,
Fred had a lot of volume the first couple days because they were it lasted for a while last year. Like there was a week or two before they picked up on it. This season they just picked up on it a little bit sooner.
Yeah, two days in. It's I mean, because listen, I was kind of explaining this on Twitch how I come up with my totals. And if it's only a half one way or another, I don't bother. And in this case, my numbers say it should be 7, but that's not good enough for me to bet a 6.5. And the reason it's a bad thing is because I'm just looking for value. Now, the good news is there's a lot of games, right? And people get mad at me for not having plays some days. But, I mean, I'm trying to be patient with this and pick and choose and find the right spots where I have the best chance. And so at six goals, yes, it's a play for me because there's a 20% chance I push based on the numbers that I have, and I'll take that. But 6.5, that number disappears. You have no shot at a push, and that hook's a big thing. But no, never ever buy points in hockey overs. Just don't do it. I mean, it's not worth it.
And there's, I mean, the goal, like even one goal in hockey is it's just such a big deal that buying a half, like it's not like buying a half point in the NFL,
right?
Where in a game where there might be, you know, 50 points. You're talking about buying a half a point in a game where there might be 5. Like that's a big difference.
Yeah, and you're giving up a lot of juice to do that. But it's the thing is, it's like anything else. I mean, I have a strategy that I use, and that's not going to apply to every game. And even having that strategy, you know, if I'm 60% this year, that's fantastic. So, which is I was over that last year on these things, and. But it goes in waves in how they do it, and Vegas just caught on a lot faster. The first 2 weeks last year, I was playing 5 games a night, which I never do. I'm not that kind of a volume guy, but they figured it out after 2 nights here, and because we didn't see a 6.5 last year until like week 3, there are 3 of them tonight.
Yeah,
so they've caught on. But alrighty,
there's a reason why they've got those big.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they're trying to beat us. That's why, you know, that's why I'm, like RJ used to say, the best weapon you have is that you get to choose which games you play.
You pass. And, the power of a pass.
And so, you know, I'll pass on a lot more than I play. Your tech CPA says Fred has a lot of problems. Brother, I don't have a problem in my life. I don't know what you mean. Please explain.
Yeah, what's your problem, Fred?
I don't have one.
Your problem?
I'm a happy guy. I'm Rona free, man. All right.
I will say it's nice to see that your expertise has moved the line from plus 120 down to even money on the Sabres.
Oh, you know what? Does that make me an influencer? I'm just curious. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Sorry, Twitchers, that I had to actually go to the little facility, so I didn't get to catch up with everybody, so I apologize. I'll stay put for the next break.
It is weird not being able to talk to the Twitch crew.
Yeah, well, when I was at home, I wound up just commenting on there. When people ask stuff, but it does kind of suck. I mean, you get used to it, but all right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So at 5 o'clock, we'll go over the NFL games again. We did that early in the week, but Do you see Charlie Strong is going to be on Urban Meyer's staff, it looks like?
Did see that. Good for him. You know, maybe Urban Meyer is the new Nick Saban. He's going to just fix everybody's problems.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, hey, Charlie's a good football coach.
He is.
It just things didn't work out at Texas, and then things went farther south for him. But as a defensive coach, you're not going to be a coordinator there. That's a good guy to have on your staff.
Yep.
Lamont said Deshaun is cryptic tweeter, but in this case, he's trolling the media person that he said something. I guess the 210 thing. That wouldn't shock me. But, I mean, the thing is we're all having to guess. And that's – I mean, LeBron's the king of that. I mean, he would do these cryptic tweets. And you know what the hell he's talking about. And then everybody gets all riled up, and they're talking about, oh, what does LeBron mean by this? He's leaving Cleveland. He's coming back to Cleveland. Yeah, you know, he wants a new teammate. He wants a new coach. Can we get past all that? Can we get past the whole
every tweet has a deeper meaning?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I like it. I liked it. I like it to be like that.
You like to sit here and speculate?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see if I can find a deeper meaning in Lamont's tweet. He's trolling a media person that he said something.
He's trolling you, Fred.
I didn't say that.
Well, you're a media person. Put two and two together.
Well, that's true, but so are you.
I'm not.
And maybe he means John McClain.
Probably.
I will say, McClain was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin 2 or 3 days ago, and he said vehemently that Deshaun will not be traded. And they said, well, what about all these rumors? He said, they're rumors. Nobody has heard Deshaun's voice since he said the last thing he said to the media was, I want a coach that's going to change the culture. And other than that, every single report of him wanting a trade is just a rumor and nothing else.
Okay.
So maybe that's what he's doing. Hey, McClain, I'm opening my mouth now.
I don't think Deshaun's going anywhere. And there's no way in hell that would be pathetic. 3 exclamation points.
Deshaun's here to stay.
Throwback to Andre Johnson. I don't think Deshaun's getting traded, but I don't know what Deshaun's saying. It'd be nice. You know what, Deshaun? You're probably a blitzer. Come on our show.
I don't think Deshaun's a blitzer.
Oh, you know what? He seems like a cool dude. He does. And I've always said great things about him.
Well, not all cool dudes are blitzers.
Well, 99% of them are. So if he's really a cool dude, Deshaun, you openly welcome to come on this show and come sit right here where AJ usually sits. You know what? If it's for you, Deshaun, I'll even let you sit in my chair. I'll move over to where AJ sits, and we'll have an open and honest conversation about it. Because I'm Team Deshaun in this. I'm on your side.
There's no other team to be on other than Team Deshaun.
Or I'm Team Cal, or be Team Cal.
Yeah, you're on Team Cal.
I'm glad. Thanks for your help. Thanks.
Nobody wants to be on that side right now. It's like, oh no.
Yeah, I I'm pretty sure he talked to McClain because he can't be so stupid that he's not hearing everything and seeing everything and realizing, well, I made Deshaun mad. I made the fan base mad. You mentioned the media. I don't care if you make the media mad. Nobody's, you know. But there is so much of this stuff that is so many things that are out there. And we started the show talking about the Peter King thing. And I'm not really blaming Peter King for that. But he gets on a podcast and Peter King says, "Yeah, I think they'll fire him soon." That's his opinion. You know, we've talked about it all week, right? No, nobody turned it into us reporting it.
Yeah.
Said, "Yeah, I think at some point they got to get rid of the guy, right?" That's been the thought. So why is it that Peter King turns into national news that there's a report?
Like that it's just a fact.
Yeah.
Just, like Peter King has some kind of inside info.
Well, he even said in the interview that... He even said in the interview that, well, I don't know this for a fact. I haven't talked to anybody. This just is my opinion. And yet people ran with it like, oh, Peter King says that Jack Easterby's out. And that stuff's got to stop, man. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, what part has to stop? The people taking his comments as facts?
Yes.
Okay. Or I was going to say, or Peter King just giving his opinion.
No, Peter King can give his opinion all he wants. I could care less about Peter King's opinion. I mean, he's to me, he's a fossil, and he's way past
right. But it's, I mean, him going on the radio and giving an opinion is no different than us doing
well,
that's the job.
Well, that's exactly what I said earlier, AJ. I mean, but that's the thing. Nobody's taking what we're saying and saying, oh,
that's true.
The Blitz is reporting that Jack Easterby's going to be fired, and so because it's Peter King has an opinion, you turn that into a report.
Well, it's because Peter King is more famous than us.
Yeah, he is. That's one guy I'm better looking than.
Barely.
So I got that. Bill said maybe Deshaun will come in for happy hour. I bet you that man could chug a pink payload.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like his drink of choice.
Listen, I've had open invitations for several people to come on the show. Joel Osteen for one. Cal McNair. He's had an open invitation. I'll throw Jack Easterby in there. What a friend we have in Jesus. I'd be happy to interview him. But
what about Casario?
Yeah, I'd like to interview him. There's actually some questions that, I mean, I think he's done a very good job answering questions. There's a few I'd like to ask that I haven't heard addressed. And it's not, I mean, they're not attack questions, but it's more simple stuff. It's like, you know, without telling me what guys you would cut, do you look at this roster and see the ability to create cap room to fix some of your defensive problems in free agency? That kind of question.
It's a good question.
And, you know, when did you and Jack first become married? And in what
no,
state?
They have a special relationship that doesn't mean they're married.
I know, but I think there's some things I'd like to ask him. And I mean, I'm not going to go on the attack. I mean, I know how he's going to answer the questions that were asked that were about the whole Easterby thing. I would like to hear his opinion on the SI report. Does he believe that? Now, you weren't there, but you knew the guy for 6 years. Do you think there's any truth to that? I think that's a fairly simple way to approach it. But Deshaun?
Or did you address that with him since you've gotten here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those are kind of the questions that I'd like him to address. And I'm sure he would. I mean, I don't think those are out of line.
You know what? And that's one thing I learned, like, I've worked hard to become a good interviewer. It's a skill that I feel like I've spent a lot of time trying to craft. One of the things I've learned over the years that I always do: ask every question that you can think of. Like if they tell you beforehand, hey, don't ask this question. Normally, if that's the case, unless it's some huge name, we normally don't even take the interview.
Yeah, we've turned down a lot over the years,
but ask questions, and if they give you some sort of vague answer and it's not the answer you were expecting to hear, don't push, but ask these questions, because the worst thing they can do is just give you a crappy stock answer or just say, I'm not answering that.
Well, and what I think we've always done pretty well, I'll pat us on the back here, is we tend to make people pretty comfortable. And when you do that, you'll get better answers.
Yeah.
And they will address things, and you turn it into a conversation. And the other thing, if you're an aspiring interviewer, the other thing that you never want to do is ask a question that is 2 minutes long for an answer. There's a lot of times where you'll hear people do that, and they're basically just rambling because they don't really know what they want to ask. And it's really irritating if you're being interviewed for it. And I'm sure this has happened to you when you've done hits on other radio shows where the guy talks for 2 minutes and you're thinking to yourself, where's the question? I thought you had me on to answer questions. So those are some little tips there. Somebody said, what about Bill O'Brien? No, Bill O'Brien, not invited. I have no interest in interviewing Bill O'Brien.
I had him on. Well, that's the OC for Alabama. I got some questions for him.
How are you going to match what Sark did last year with the guys you're losing? But no, I have no interest in him. But I'd love to have Deshaun on. Come in studio. We'll have a drink. I'll, and if he wants to, if he doesn't want to rip into Cal, I'll do it for him. It's okay. And he doesn't.
You know who would? Because it looks like
he could like my tweet. You know, my verbal tweet.
You know who would? Because it looks like he's on his way out anyways. JJ, because he would just unload, especially after.
I don't think he would though.
No, that's not how he works.
If you get enough alcohol in him,
maybe.
If we make him chug a couple of these pink payloads or blue bombers and just say, so,
Now,
Justin,
also remember,
what do you think of Jack Easterby?
Also remember, that's a big old boy, and he's from Wisconsin. My guess is it takes a lot to get him there.
You know what? I'm pretty sure he can hang with us.
I'm pretty sure he can. Yeah. I don't think JJ would be a cheap drunk.
No, JJ's always got an open invitation. We interviewed him at the Super Bowl one year, and he really seemed to enjoy it. So he's always invited. But, yeah, somebody said, JJ, don't drink. I don't know if I buy that. Offer Watson a mega shot. Yeah, you know what? Deshaun, if you come on the show, you get to be the first one to do the mega shot, the new one that has been building up, and the one that's going to have the Chinese stuff that we're saving for when AJ gets back. Yeah, it'd be awesome. So you guys, let, if you're friends with Deshaun, so let him know we'd love to have him. And you know, I think we're team Deshaun on this. I'm also team New Breaks, and a couple people reached out on Twitter and said, hey, man, thanks for the recommendation. I use these guys. And then somebody else basically responded to his tweet and said, yep, me too. They were fantastic. And so, guys, if you need your brakes repaired, now is not the time to go sit in a shop or a dealer for a couple hours. When New Brakes will come to you, they'll come to your house. If you're at work, they'll come to your work, and they'll take care of it. And brakes is what they do. It's all they do. So you don't have to leave your house. And they definitely keep up with the COVID restrictions, and they're not, there's no contact there. But they're going to come to your house. You're going to save 20 to 50% more than what you're going to get from a shop and a dealer. You're going to get quality work. They're certified, experienced brake technicians, premium brake parts, 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty, anything you could ask for. And there's a reason if you go to, they've got so many 5-star reviews. Mention ESPN, 10% off your service. Just go to newbrakes.com, NUBRAKES.com. Newbrakes.com, mention ESPN, 10% off your service. Great company, newbrakes.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.